All right, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue, and I'll just remind you guys, as always, Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee. He's a 30-year vet in the practice of law, and yes, indeed, Stan McDonald is the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. I'll tell you more about Stan here momentarily. All right, so let me just jump in and say one of the big news stories of the day, obviously, has been the effort by the Trump administration to negotiate an end to the war in Ukraine. And it's a valiant effort. And I don't believe that any other world leader could make it happen. But the fact that we're here at all right now is incredible. I mean, there are some who believe the war would be over in days. And as time passed by, there are those who believed it might never end. But something that must be addressed, though, are the reasons why it started. And no, I don't mean all of the geopolitical premises. I don't mean the cultural and historical tensions between Ukraine and Russia. I don't mean the demographics. I don't mean the economies of Russia and Ukraine. Those are all important. But those were not the straw that broke the camel's back. That proverbial camel's back. Those were longstanding factors, yes. And I submit to you, though, that every war has longstanding factors that steeped over time and simmering below the surface actually pop up sometimes and create the war. But pretty much every war also has a flashpoint that kicks it off. A moment in time that told everyone that the hinge point had been reached. And the war in Ukraine is no different. And the flashpoint I'm talking about, it happened exactly 4 years ago this week. A flashpoint that was actually somewhere else, but it sent shockwaves around the world. I submit to you, hear me when I say it, I submit to you that the flashpoint that gave Putin the clarity he needed to make the final call to cross the line from peace to war was the Biden administration's debacle of a pullout from Afghanistan that occurred 4 years ago this week. That's right, 4 years ago this week was when the airstrip at Kabul airport was overrun by desperate Afghan citizens panicking because Joe Biden was abandoning everything and everyone, and we watched in horror as Afghan men clung to the sides of U.S. Air Force cargo planes and fell to their deaths as they took off. It was shocking. It was awful. It was a sign that the U.S. was, at that point, not a nation operating in strength. We were without care for the fates of other people. And just a few days later, 4 years from next Tuesday, a suicide bomber blew himself up at the Abbey Gate entrance to the Kabul airport and killed 13 U.S. service members and over 100 Afghan citizens. And I'm telling you right now, Putin knew then that the U.S. under Joe Biden would never say a word if he launched his attack. And within 2 months, Putin began massing his troops and posturing for war. Afghanistan was the flashpoint that launched the war in Ukraine, in my opinion. But let's talk about flashpoints, because yeah, flashpoints happen, they do. And how they are handled makes all the difference. In foreign policy, a flashpoint refers to a specific location or situation where tensions between two nations or groups are high and could easily escalate into violence. It's a critical juncture where a seemingly minor or even seemingly unrelated incident could trigger a major crisis or even a war. But to give you an idea of what it's like to deal with a flashpoint moment, we have to talk a little history. We have to tell a few stories. Man, I got a doozy for you today. You see, throughout history, there have been numerous flashpoints, those singular acts or moments in time that have drawn the U.S. into conflict, and some, though, that have been stared down and dealt with effectively. It's a question of leadership. The kickoff to World War I was the single assassination of Serbian Archduke Ferdinand. The entrance of the U.S. to World War I was the singular sinking of the ship Lusitania that killed 128 Americans. The flashpoint for the Spanish-American War in Cuba was the sinking of the USS Maine in Havana Harbor. The flashpoint for the global war on terror was 9/11. Those all kicked into war. But are there times, though, where a flashpoint is mitigated? Where a crisis is handled without it escalating fully? Yes, there are. Everyone remembers the Cuban Missile Crisis, when the world stood on the brink of the Cold War going very hot, as the Soviet Union decided it wanted to put nuclear missiles a stone's throw away off our southern shores in Cuba. President Kennedy stared down that situation firmly, with resolve. Had he blinked? Had Kennedy equivocated? Had he tried to appease the Soviets for even 1 second? We would have seen enough nuclear material on our border to wipe half of America off the map within a minute of launch. But one of the craziest moments that showed how dangerous and treacherous international policy and brinksmanship can be is one that the world has pretty much forgotten. Some call it the Battle of the Poplar Tree, and it happened near the DMZ between North and South Korea. It's a story that I got to tell you because, interestingly enough, the anniversary of the Flashpoint that I'm about to tell you is also this week. You see, 49 years ago this week, to be exact, the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea was a hotspot. The DMZ between North and South Korea, also known as a no man's land, it's a buffer between two countries who hate each other. South Korea and the United States on one side guard the DMZ with North Korea on the other side, and we have done so since the ceasefire from the Korean War. Keep in mind, by the way, there was never actually an official end to that war, just an armistice. But what I'm about to describe to you, though, is what took place in what is known as the Joint Security Area, where both U.S. and South Korean troops can both be there and have a presence. It's kind of like that spot where both sides can meet. You've seen pictures of President Trump meeting there with Kim Jong-un. But on August 18th of 1976, Captain Arthur Art Boniface, a 33-year-old U.S. Army, Airborne Ranger, and Vietnam veteran, was leading a routine mission to trim a tree that was blocking our view from observation points in the DMZ, and things went horribly wrong. He was on-the-ground commander of a joint security force, and Boniface and his men were confronted by approximately 15 North Korean troops led by a guy named Pak Chul. Pak Chul was nicknamed Lieutenant Bulldog because he had been constantly in frequent confrontations with the Americans. After a few tense minutes of attempted intimidation and posturing, the North Korean officer approached Captain Boniface and demanded that the U.S. soldiers stop trimming down the tree because it had allegedly been, quote, personally planted and nourished by Kim Il-sung, which is a joke, but he probably believed it. Boniface was unfazed by the arrogant North Korean officer. He turned away and began ordering his men to continue their work trimming the tree. Moments later, a truck with 20 additional North Korean soldiers showed up, all of them carrying crowbars, steel pipes, clubs. And what happened next would shock and enrage Americans, South Koreans, and freedom-loving people all over the world. It became a massive flashpoint. It could have gone to war. According to eyewitnesses, Lieutenant Pak calmly took off his watch, wrapped it in a handkerchief, put it in his pocket, and then yelled, "Kill them!" And instantly, the North Korean soldiers, under direct orders from that lieutenant, began beating and hacking the American and North Korean and South Korean soldiers near the tree. In the next 30 seconds or so, Captain Boniface, who was actually scheduled to leave Korea the following week to be reunited with his wife and three children, and a First Lieutenant Mark Barrett, a 25-year-old Jacksonville, Florida native who had recently married, were both bludgeoned to death. U.S. forces in Korea immediately went to DEFCON 3. Within hours of the brutal murders, the North Korean government issued the following statement. They said, quote, "At 10:45 a.m. today, the American imperialist aggressors sent 14 hoodlums with axes to the joint security area, and they attacked our guards en masse, committed a serious provocative act of beating our men and wielding murderous weapons." Please. 2 days later, the bodies of Captain Boniface and Lieutenant Barrett were escorted to Kimpo Airport outside of Seoul and flown to the United States, where both men were buried with full military honors. On August 21st, the United States, in a plan that was promoted and authorized by none other than President Gerald Ford himself, launched what became known as Operation Paul Bunyan. JP is going to put a picture up on the screen right now. Operation Paul Bunyan. Yep, the Allies sent 23 American and South Korean vehicles filled with soldiers and a 64-man task force of South Korean special forces right to the site of the incident. They had U.S. Army Cobra attack helicopters on the horizon, B-52 bombers and F-4 Phantoms flying overhead. The USS Midway task force was streaming offshore, and the Americans cut down that whole daggum tree. Approximately 200 North Korean soldiers rushed into the area, began setting up machine gun positions. They had locked and loaded rifles and machine guns, and the North Koreans watched the 40-minute tree cutting in complete silence. Miraculously, they never fired a shot. Kim Il-sung had actually backed down because an American president had the chutzpah to stare him down. Several hours later, the North Korean leadership issued what has been known as the closest thing to a formal apology they've ever issued. They called it a formal regret. President Ford, though, he knew at the time that America was jaded because we had just left Vietnam the year before. But he also knew that flashpoints happen, and you cannot stand there and just do nothing about them. So he faced it head on. Yes, flashpoints happen. The world's a crazy place sometimes, and it's filled up with things that most of us never even know about. At any given time, a madman, an assassin, a crisis, a pandemic can arise and set everything on edge, and sometimes those moments are the flashpoint in a geographical area or in the middle of a competing interest or a historical grievance. What matters most, though, to decide whether it's a flashpoint for peace or war is leadership. Real leadership. The kind that can be tested and proven worthy for such a time as that. That's why elections matter. That's why who we put in office matters. Because flashpoints happen, but leadership can actually keep it in check. Two major flashpoints. One that Biden caused launched the war in Ukraine, in my opinion, 4 years ago this week. The other, North Korean provocations on the DMZ against U.S. troops that resulted in two deaths that almost went to war, but another American president stood it down. Not only that, he made symbolic gestures to show that we will never allow that to happen again. Flashpoints, they happen. Leadership, it matters. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Wave.